With me today is Delia McCabe, and we're going to talk about feeding our brain. Good day, Delia.
Hi, Meredith. How are you?
Good, thanks. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure.
Feed your brain. When we go to our GP or our specialist, they always say, you have to stay healthy. You have to exercise, eat well, so you'll have a healthy body. We hardly talk about a healthy brain. Is that correct?
Absolutely. It just isn't part of our psyche at the moment.
And according to you, there are lots of things that we can do so that we will maintain or we can have a healthy brain for a long time.
That's quite right. There are many things we can do.
Beginning with eating well?
Absolutely. Eating well is a very important part of that. It's not the only part, but it's the part that we have a lot of control over and something that we do every single day, a couple of times a day. So it's something that is very much in our control, which is why I focused on that in my book.
And you did say that we can trick our brain.
Oh, yeah, we can
when it comes to eating.
We can trick our brain all the time. And what I did with the recipes in my book, I kind of like trick my brain and my family's brain, and obviously sharing these recipes with everyone who uses them, because they taste great. They've got good mouthfeel. They've got good fats in them. They're very quick to make, but they trick our brain into thinking that we're eating something that maybe isn't healthy, but of course it is, because I made a point of that.
Oils. Everyone keeps saying you can't eat oily stuff or oil isn't really good for you, but it's good for the brain.
Well, we have to qualify that, because yes, fat is very important to the brain. 60% of the brain is made up of fat, and between 20 and 25% of that 60% we have to get from our diet. It's a very specific kind of fat that helps our brain work very, very well. So fat is very important, but it needs to be the right kind of fat, and it also needs to be undamaged fat.
So what is the right kind of fat?
Well, the right kinds of fat are the kinds of fat that help our brain, our neurons, work very efficiently. And those are fats which we call omega-3 and omega-6 fats. They're polyunsaturated fats. And our body cannot make them, although our body can make saturated fats, which the brain also uses.
So where can we get these types of fats, the good ones?
The good fats we get from good nuts and seeds. I've got a chart in my book which makes it really simple for people to get the whole meaning. But basically, we need to eat a combination of sunflower seeds, sesame seeds, good other nuts like almonds, walnuts, pecan nuts, cashews. And then, of course, the very sophisticated fats, the omega-3s, come in flax seeds, in chia seeds, and in dark green leafy vegetables as well.
So my grandmother was right when she was telling me when I was young, before an exam, you have to eat a lot of nuts.
She was, Maridel.
And exercise is good for your brain too.
Absolutely. Exercise is extremely important. Exercise does something wonderful in the brain, because it allows the brain to produce something which we call fertilizer for the brain. The fancy name is brain-derived neurotrophic factor. But if we think about it as fertilizer for the brain, we get a really good idea of what it does.
And it's easier to remember.
Yeah, it's much easier to remember. It helps neurons stay very flexible. It helps them grow new synapses, which means it's easier to make new connections. So our memory, our learning, our focus, our concentration all become healthier because of that.
And I was told that because you exercise, you release the happy hormone. Is that?
That's true.
It helps with your brain and your mental state as well, doesn't it?
It does. It's a bliss hormone called endorphins, a certain kind of endorphin. So, yes, that's very true. But the other good thing about exercise, which people don't often think about, is the fact that when you exercise, you're also using up adrenaline. And because we live in a very stressed society where everybody's on all the time, exercise actually helps us get rid of some of that stress that gets pent up in our bodies and in our brains. So exercise has an extra benefit on top of just being brain fertilizer.
And sex? You mentioned sex.
Yes, I do. Sex is an interesting thing to talk about, because people don't really think about it in terms of brain health. But good relationships are one of the cornerstones of a healthy, good life. And having sex uses up a lot of different regions of the brain and stimulates a lot of great neurotransmitter activity, which is soothing for the brain and makes the brain feel safe and settled. So sex is really good for the brain. It's better for the brain than Sudoku. They've done research to show that.
And sleep. A lot of people wouldn't think that sleep is related to our brain function, but I've read a lot of articles that say that, especially in children, a long amount of sleep is good for learning.
Absolutely. Sleep is one of the things that has not been researched a lot in previous decades, but now we're starting to research it because we now know that even though it's something that we didn't know a lot about, a lot goes on in the brain when we sleep. And interestingly, we now know that when we sleep, the brain does a kind of like a house cleaning exercise. So our neurons shrink and our spinal fluid rushes through the brain and cleans up all the debris and the metabolic activity byproducts of a busy day. Now, if you don't get enough sleep, that activity cannot happen. And so they find that brains that don't sleep well have more of a toxic buildup than brains that do sleep well. So that's a very important part of it.
So it's like a computer when you defragment, is that what they say?
Yes, when you actually clean it, you clean up all those little extra pieces that you don't need anymore and that have done their job and are superfluous, precisely, Maridel.
So it's like a vacuum
for
the house. And you did say that in dreams, a lot of good things come out.
Yes, it's interesting. When you saw in my book, obviously, the little box where I spoke about the famous dreamers, it would seem that something interesting happens in our brain, which we really don't understand very much. When we sleep, it seems as if we put a problem into our subconscious, and our subconscious carries on working on it while we're sleeping. And I think what happens then is that all sorts of brain regions work together without our awareness to come up with ideas and creative solutions that maybe we hadn't put together in our conscious wakeful hours.
So some of the most inspiring or intelligent things would come in our sleep.
Absolutely. I'll give you a funny example. There's a recipe in the book, a lemon sorbet, and I actually dreamt about that recipe. I'd been thinking about making a healthy, very refreshing ice cream, and I didn't want to use any dairy. So I woke up one morning and I thought, oh, I'm going to try this, and there it is.
Maybe one night I'd dream of the winning Tats Lotto numbers.
That'd be a good dream too.
And more importantly, for everyone who's listening right now, you don't have to eat tasteless, senseless food to have a healthy brain, isn't
Absolutely
it?
Absolutely not. Absolutely. In fact, eating boring, tasteless food will make your brain quite miserable because our brain likes stimulation and change and flavor and newness. So it actually switches the brain on and helps digestion when food is tasty and flavorsome, whereas a lot of people have chosen the other path thinking that's healthy, but it actually isn't really good for the brain.
Ah, so chocolates can be good for you?
If it's the right kind of chocolate, it can be good for you. If it's 70% up with cocoa solids and cocoa butter, if it doesn't have any damaged fat in it, and if it's organic, it can be very good for your brain. But not too much, of course.
So is that dark chocolate that we're talking about that's specifically good for you?
That's dark chocolate. It's got a lot of good antioxidants in it, a lot of good flavonols, and it also contains some good minerals like magnesium and manganese and zinc, which also are helpful to the brain.
Thanks very much, Julia McCabe, and feeding your brain for a healthier life.
Thank you very much, Maridel. Enjoy the rest of your day.
SBS.
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 SBS Radio.